Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Great to be with you on a Tuesday morning. It's Tuesday, May 7, 2024. Do hope your day is going well so far. So much to talk about. We have a great lineup for you. We should say let's hear it for the girls because we have, and I'm so excited. Jeanette Williams is going to be joining me shortly after the weather and the news, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. Women of Grace celebrating a big anniversary this year. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to get Jeanette's insight and wisdom as to what we see going on in the attack on women. You know, her beautiful ministry, Women of Grace, does so much good in educating on the dignity of women, and especially in light of what's going on in our culture with the attack on women through this extreme transgender ideology. And more recently, Jeanette's been addressing a number of issues, including the horrible changes in Title IX, literally launching a war on women's equality. And I don't know if you saw it or not. Maybe Andrew can pull a clip. I forgot to mention it to him in preparing for the show this morning because I watched this whole interview, or I should say testimony and questioning, of the education secretary before a Senate committee, actually, talking about the changes in Title IX and how he sidestepped and did not answer the questions directly and claimed that he cared about the safety of all the students. It was all about safety. And so one of the senators asked, okay, well, what about the safety of girls who don't feel safe if they know that boys dressed as girls are going to be able to come into the bathrooms, come into the dorms, not only compete with them for scholarships and sports, but their physical safety. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And what he did was he turned it around, of course, and deflected and said, oh, well, you just don't understand. You just don't are saying that the people won't recognize that they are girls. I mean, it was just ridiculous. He would not answer the obvious question of what's going on here and the attack on women. When they claim they're all about women and equality, they're not. They're catering to the most extreme of groups and hurting so many others in the process. And so we'll talk about that with Jeanette. And, you know, from obviously a bigger spiritual perspective and also how she'll be celebrating the big anniversary coming up. But I'll let her tell us about the beginning of Women in Grace and how many years now that she's been sharing her wisdom on EWTN, both radio and TV. So that's coming up. And then we have another wonderful sister in the Lord who's going to be sharing with us about a beautiful event that's taking place next month in Washington, Lauren Muzica. She's awesome. She's president and CEO of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. She oversees the organization's vision, mission, and programming. And she wrote me a while back and told me about this huge pro-life mega event that's coming up in D.C. in June. It's called the Celebrate Life Weekend. Sounds great. So she'll give us all the details in terms of where can we get information, how do you register, if there's anything being offered online, that kind of thing. So look forward to talking to both of these amazing women who are doing such great good for the church and for the world. Let's check out the weather and see what's happening. There are some rough weather patterns across the country. So we have an enhanced risk, according to the National Weather Service, level 3 of 5, for scattered severe thunderstorms that have been outlooked across the Ohio Valley today. Tornadoes, hail, and damaging winds are possible. Now, there's already issues in Oklahoma where they're struggling. One person is dead, and it's just horrible what they've experienced the last couple of days. So we have that going on. Then farther west on the backside of the storm system, driving the severe thunderstorms, strong winds, and critical fire weather affecting the high plains and parts of the Rockies through the middle of the week, along with heavy snow in the high Rockies. So the biggest risk right now, scattered severe storms have an outlook for the Ohio Valley and tornadoes, hail, and damaging winds possible. And we've already seen a good portion of the country affected by this. Already 4 minutes past the hour. I hope you are having a beautiful day today, wherever you are in this beautiful Marian month of May. Let's take a look and see what's happening news-wise across the country. Well, damage is being reported in Oklahoma after tornadoes tore across the state. Several communities, including the town of Bartlesville, which is north of Tulsa, reported widespread damage.
We're still doing assessments, still looking at some of the damage areas. We did take a direct hit from a tornado here in Bartlesville.
That's Washington County Emergency Management Director of Operations, Carrie Cox. At least one death was reported late Monday. In other news, a priest armed with several weapons and dressed in a cassock tried to enter St. Peter's Square in the Vatican to take part in the Regina Celi prayer with the Pope on Sunday. According to the Italian news agency ANSA, the priest, who is from the Czech Republic, tried to pass through the metal detector carrying an air pistol, two knives, a cutter, and a screwdriver. Catholic news agency goes on to say that after being arrested, the priest was reported to the authorities for illegal possession of weapons. When questioned, the priest said he carried the weapons for what he referred to as personal defense. According to the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, the priest is 59 years old and his name is Father Milan Palkovic. The weapons, they say, were in a bag that belonged to another man, a 60-year-old Czech who accompanied the priest and who was also detained. Neither of them has a criminal record and both came to Rome, they say, on a pilgrimage. Speaking of the Pope, he greeted the officers and new recruits of the Pontifical Swiss Guard on the day of the swearing-in ceremony and encouraged them to cultivate human relationships and community life in their service.
Extending his greetings to the commander and chaplain of the Swiss Guards, Pope Francis renewed his gratitude to the military corps for its presence in the Vatican and for its service, which he said is always generous and diligent, noting the strong camaraderie of the Swiss Guards, which incentivizes their motivation. Pope Francis highlighted the crucial importance of relationships for all Christians.
Le buone relazioni sono una strada maestra per la nostra crescita e maturazione umana e cristiana.
Good relationships are the main path of our human and Christian growth and maturation, he said, recalling that much of what characterizes our personality we have learned through relationships with parents, brothers and sisters, schoolmates, teachers, friends and work colleagues. This is why, the Pope stressed, their 2 years of service in the Swiss Guard is such an important and formative time for them.
Vi esorto a coltivare attivamente la vita comunitaria.
Concluding, Pope Francis further urged the new recruits to cultivate community life rather than isolate themselves in front of a computer or a smartphone, as young people often do today. It is better to use free time for moments of fraternity in which to talk and share, the Pope said.
That's Vatican correspondent Lisa Zangarini. Meanwhile, the Vatican and the French embassy are teaming up to host an international pre-Olympics conference on sport and spirituality. Putting Our Lives on the Line is the name of the conference, and it's set for May 16th through the 18th in Rome. The expected 200 people taking part include athletes, international sports body representatives, sports club managers, and agents of the pastoral care of sport. That's according to a Vatican news release. The 2024 Summer Olympics in Paris get underway on July 26. Anti-Israel protesters vandalizing a World War I memorial in Central Park yesterday, burning an American flag, after a mob of more than 1,000 marchers was blocked by cops from reaching the Met, the Metropolitan Museum of Art, where the star-studded Met Gala was in full swing. At least one vandal torched Old Glory at the site of the 107th Infantry Memorial, at the base of which was defaced with graffiti reading Gaza in large black letters. Others plastered the statue's bronze soldiers with stickers of the Palestinian flag that read Stop the Genocide and the Apartheid Free Palestine. Free Palestine. Some of the protesters climbed atop the infantrymen and waved Palestinian flags or draped them over the figures. The anarchy near the corner of 5th Avenue and East 67th unfolding with no cops in sight as a large police presence had mobilized about 15 blocks north at the Met to ensure one of the biggest nights in fashion was not crashed by any anti-Israel protesters. And another Central Park monument, the Civil War General William Tecumseh Sherman bronze statue in Grand Army Plaza, was also vandalized yesterday. Free Gaza was graffitied in red letters on the base of that memorial and a Palestinian flag affixed to its front. And the crowd was part of what they called a Day of Rage protest organized by the Palestinian activist group Within Our Lifetime that had trekked north on Fifth Avenue, blocking traffic along the way before police stopped them at East 79th Street in the Central Park area. Columbia University is breaking up its main graduation ceremony, as Natalie Migliori tells us, because of the recent protest activity over the war in the Middle East.
Columbia University says it'll hold smaller-scale school-based celebrations in place of the university-wide ceremony that was scheduled for May 15th. In a statement, the institution said the past few weeks have been incredibly difficult, but it is determined to give students the celebration they deserve, claiming students have expressed smaller ceremonies are most meaningful to them and their families. As tensions continue to boil over at universities across the country, Columbia has requested the NYPD stay on campus through at least the middle of May.
Reports say Israel has begun its Rafah offensive after rejecting Hamas ceasefire agreement. Israel Defense Forces say the IDF is currently conducting targeted strikes against Hamas terror targets in eastern Rafah in southern Gaza. Israeli officials have blasted the ceasefire proposal as significantly different from what Israel had initially said it would agree to. According to the Israeli sources, intelligence indicating that Rafah crossing in eastern Rafah was being used for terrorist purposes. IDF troops managed to establish operational control of the Gaza side of that crossing on Sunday. Mortars were fired from the area of the Rafah crossing toward the area of Kerem Shalom crossing, and four Israeli soldiers were killed during the operation. Several others were hurt after the mortars were fired. The Prime Minister's office, Benjamin Netanyahu's office, saying Israel is still sending, though, despite everything, a negotiation team to Cairo to try to exhaust the possibility of achieving an agreement on terms that are acceptable to both Israel and Hamas. Much of the spotlight has been on pro-Palestinian protests, but over the weekend in Austin, a peaceful rally in support of Israel drew hundreds to the Texas state capitol. Organizers speaking about the hostages taken by Hamas as part of the deadly October attack that killed more than 1,200 people. The group marching to the governor's mansion in support of Governor Greg Abbott. He's been an outspoken ally. Andrew Whitman tells us a 13-year-old girl arrested at her Long Island middle school yesterday for making a verbal threat.
Police arrested the young teenager at East Northport Middle School Monday afternoon. Suffolk police say she, quote, made a verbal threat of mass harm to several other students, not specifying the number or what she allegedly said. She was arrested and charged with misdemeanor threat of mass harm and was released to her parents. Police say she didn't bring any weapons to school.
It's hurricane preparedness week ahead of the storm season, which officially begins in just a few weeks on June 1st. National Weather Service warning coordinator Robert Maleda encourages all sectors of the community to get a plan together.
Businesses, schools, government agencies, you name it, really. This is everyone's job, including meteorologists.
He also says now is the time to figure out your risk from wind and storm surge. He says stock up on items on your hurricane checklist. And don't let down your guard, he adds, until the season ends in November. A ban on TikTok is not enough for some D.C. lawmakers. There's now a bipartisan push to slap restrictions on all social media, making it available to people only over the age of 13.
There's no reason for a kid under 13 to be dealing with all of the pressure, all of the peer pressure, all of the negative messaging that comes from social media.
That's Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. He's one of the sponsors of the so-called Kids Off Social Media Act. In addition to setting a minimum age, the bill would prohibit social media companies from using their algorithms to push content to users under the age of 17. The economy is still a big issue for Americans, and some of America's best-known food brands are losing market share as consumers use their wallets to rebel, as Aaron Riel tells us, against those rising food prices.
Fast food prices in March were 33% higher than 2019 levels. This is according to the Labor Department, while grocery prices were up 26%. The pushback from consumers is prompting some food companies to shift their strategies. McDonald's and Starbucks plan to launch more promotions. Mondelēza said it would offer pricing specials and smaller package size. Kellanova said they're promoting larger package sizes at the beginning of the month when consumers have the most cash on hand and smaller ones towards the end of the month. U.S. fast food traffic declined 3.5% in the first quarter of the year compared with the same period last year.
14 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful Wednesday. Ooh, it's Tuesday. Getting ahead of myself. Sorry about that. Tuesday, May 7th. I don't know why I said Wednesday. But it is a Tuesday, and we are glad you're listening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, every day right here to EWTN. All the details, EWTN.com, including all about our next guest, the beautiful, the wonderful, the amazing Jeanette Williams, dear, dear friend of mine. She joins us to talk about a special anniversary for Women of Grace and also some of the very important issues that she's been covering. We'll also get her insight, her great spiritual insight on what's happening with women and the dignity of women, especially regarding this transgender ideology and new attacks on Title IX. We'll be right back.
Is your business making the impact it deserves online? At GTU, we elevate your brand with intuitive websites and mobile apps, stunning content, and sound strategy that truly reflects your brand. I'm Al Zara, owner of GTU. Like you, I trust Ave Maria Radio for valued insights. GTU offers you the same level of expertise in a marketing partner you can have faith in. Visit GTU.com and let's amplify your brand's digital presence together.
Beacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59 and in Livonia. Beacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Beacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
Drivers, when you see the flashing lights of a stopped emergency vehicle, tow truck, or road maintenance vehicle, use your lights too. First, show your brake lights by slowing down at least 10 miles per hour below the posted speed limit. Then, flash your turn signal and move over to the next lane if possible. This protects roadway responders and others. It's also the law. So when you see flashing lights, slow down and move over. Sponsored by the Michigan Office of Highway Safety Planning and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Minutes past the hour. Of course, this is a very beautiful month, the month of Mama Mary and Mother's Day this weekend. Wishing you all an early Mother's Day, including my dear friend and sister in the Lord, Jeanette Williams. Jeanette, we email, but we haven't chatted in a while. It is good to hear your voice, sister. Good morning.
Well, thank you so much, Teresa, and good morning to you, too. And it's also good to hear your voice. I'll tell you what, we got to do these things more often.
Sounds like a plan to me. Okay, so first of all, congratulations. And Doug Keck and I are going to be mentioning this on Friday when he joins me, as he always does. But you have a big anniversary this year, right, for Women of Grace?
Well, yes. Actually, we had it in October, so we're celebrating our 20th year of existence for Women of Grace. Of course, Living His Life Abundantly started before that, right, in 1987. But yes, Women of Grace has been going strong since October of 2003, if you can imagine such a thing. And we praise and thank God for every year that he's, you know, raised this ministry up. And I don't think that we could have imagined 20 years ago the important need that there would be for these kinds of outreaches to women. We could never have seen, Teresa, what was coming at us. Even though we sensed it then with regard to the radical feminism that was the main battle then, now it has been so enculturated in so much a fabric of our day and time, we don't even see it, and it gets crazier, crazier by the day.
Right, right. And you've covered all of this over the past 20 years. And by the way, I think just keep the party going until October 24. I mean, you know, it's a 20-year anniversary, so just keep going through the rest of the year. That's my take on it. But getting to the topic,
yeah.
No, I think you should, because it's a milestone and it's a super important program. But the thing that is just so amazing to me is that you and I, so many times on this show, your show, Catholic View for Women, we've talked about radical feminism. But, Jeanette, where are the radical feminists? Why aren't they speaking up if they're truly feminists for women who are being directly targeted by this transgender agenda?
I think with regard to that, Teresa, I think that the fact of the matter is radical feminism has never been for women.
Right.
It's always been for this attempt to basically change the female person into the masculine. And it began, you know, by virtue of its ideology, that the women had a problem, and the problem was that they were women, that they had a womb, that they had the potentiality to conceive a life within that womb, that womb was preventing them from becoming everything they wanted to be within the culture of the day. And so it encouraged that silencing of the womb through contraception, through abortion, through sterilization, through any other means by which they could detach themselves from that reality. And it really hoisted upon them a very masculine way of thinking, an intentionally masculine way of thinking. To make it in the corporate world, you've got to think like a man, act like a man, behave like a man, do what a man does. And that was really the beginning, I think, of this annihilation of the feminine in our contemporary culture. It has roots that go back, you know, centuries ago. If you read Carrie Gross's book, The End of Woman, she outlines that. But today, what we're seeing being played out in this transgenderism and in this attempt to make men into women, which is a complete impossibility, no matter how you mutilate the body or charge it up on hormones, you're never going to change the DNA, and you're not going to change the reality. And I think that what we're seeing happening across the board with these kinds of things is nothing more than this attempt of the evil one to accomplish what his goal was from the garden, and that was to get rid of the woman.
Right, right. It's so clear. I mean, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, we're talking, of course, with Jeanette Williams. Really doesn't need any introduction for EWTN listeners, but you can check out her great work, of course, EWTN.com and womenofgrace.com, along with her radio and TV shows and her many, many books and her retreats and conferences. So, Jeanette, recently with Title IX, I know you've covered this on Women of Grace, but it is totally the exact opposite, and this is what the left and the evil one does. He takes something bad and makes it sound like a good. And so what they're doing with Title IX is they're basically really just hurting women more and more in this, because it's going to allow men who want to dress up as women to come into the dorms, into the locker rooms, the bathrooms, and compete for scholarships in addition to competing for sports. And they say this is all about student safety and safety for women. It's the exact opposite.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the fact of the matter is, as we were talking a moment ago, no matter how it is that you try to change the body of a man, or the body of a woman for that matter, to become the opposite sex, you can never accomplish that goal. So, you know, we know this physical reality. We know that these men who are striving to be women athletes have, you know, an upper body mass that women do not have. We know that they have a strength that women do not have. We know they have an endurance that women do not have. And so as a result of that, you know, there's no hope for the female athlete. And putting that individual into a competitive sport, you are going, for example, basketball, let's take that for an example, what you're going to see is a lot of injuries happening. And the female athletes will be, you know, not only injured, but they will be left behind. We're going to end up with sports teams that were female at one point in time being something, that is basically, in my estimation, a mockery of the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're going to see that. You know, yes, you are right. I have addressed this both on television and on radio with Samantha Kelly. This is a young woman who is an athlete, and she herself, a competitive athlete through her college years, a soccer player, really an award-winning soccer player. She played for UConn. And she has started an organization called Fierce Athlete, and I would encourage everybody to go out there and to take a look at what she and her team are doing. Just an incredible job at helping to alert, but also helping female athletes to understand who they are as women, because we know that that field is very ripe for people with an agenda to come in and try to really usurp the image of these young women and to confuse them about their own femininity. So they're doing a great job. That's fierceathlete.org. And I would encourage people to get out there. I'll tell you, she's doing a tremendous job.
They have such courage. I mean, there are so many women, in addition to there's Samantha, and there's a few others that are really, really speaking out. Sage Steele is another one that's doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the pretty blonde, I can't think of her name. Her name escapes you right now, but she's out there, and she's been taking so much heat for this. She's been physically threatened and everything. Her life has been threatened. It's just insane. Do you think that the pendulum is starting to swing the other way? Because what we're seeing now, for example, in some of the countries that, if you could believe it, claim to be even more, quote-unquote, I hate the word progressive because it sounds like a positive, and it's not. But they're the ones who started, really, this with the whole transgender ideology and these so-called clinics, and now they're either shutting down or temporarily stopping the treatment with puberty blockers as well as these horrible mutilating surgeries because they're realizing that there's no evidence that they help anything and they cause more damage than helping these young people. Do you think with that in mind that people are starting to wake up? Because it just seems like this administration is going full forward. Well, we'll answer that question when we come back. I'm so engrossed in the conversation, I lost track of time. Jeanette Williams with us from Women of Grace, celebrating 20 years of great programming and standing up for the dignity of who we are, made in the image and likeness of God. More with Jeanette when we come back. It is a Tuesday morning. You're listening to EWTN. Stay tuned. Years of Women of Grace, and my goodness, the topics that we've seen Jeanette cover over the years. We're so grateful for the programming, womenofgrace.com, and of course, EWTN.com. So Jeanette, I was asking you before the break, given how Europe, especially in Great Britain, they're starting to have some common sense attacks, thanks be to God, and they just recently decided also, there are a few big stories that broke the last week or so, they just recently decided that they're going back to, oh, guess what? Bathrooms for men and bathrooms for women. No more unisex bathrooms. What a concept. And then they also announced that they want to make sure that women feel safe, and so they're going back to general identity for women, and they're not going to be all concerned about all these different pronouns because they see the result that they're admitting that there are problems with what they do or what they did with this transgender ideology. Do you think that someday we'll get there, or are we still far behind right now, do you think?
Well, you know, I think that we're slow to act is what I think. And I think that right now we're embroiled in a political situation where there's a lot of pandering to the far left. And when, you know, these decisions are being based on, political gain and in many cases monetary gain. I mean, look at what the pharmaceuticals have made on this business. Look at what, less ethical doctors have made on this butchering of children. You know, when you look at that, we know that oftentimes that takes precedence over ethics. And I don't think that we are operating in an ethical way today. If we were, we certainly wouldn't be seeing what we're seeing going on, because this is all outside of what medical ethics or even good responsible legislation would lead us, in the direction towards. So I'm hoping that we'll follow suit. I know that some of the countries, as you say, that we would consider to be even left of us, if that's even possible, at least societally left of us, culturally, they're turning the page back. But it often takes a while for us to catch up, and I don't think that we'll see any gain on this until we're well past this upcoming election.
Yeah,
I think that's the sad news. I just think it'll continue to be heralded, and there will be and my concern, Teresa, is that we're going to see increased legislation in a short period of time, that is going to really encumber, you know, the opportunity to be able to speak boldly.
Yeah,
on these issues, and we've got to continue to maintain that. You know, you and I are in a very unique position, because God has placed a microphone in our hands. And, I don't know about you, but I am evaluating every single day. Am I using this opportunity for His honor and glory,
right,
and to strive to bring truth into an absolutely truthless, if you can, culture?
Yep. Every day I pray, and every day I'm monitoring the stories, and I'm seeing, okay, what is appropriate? how can we express this, but especially in this area, because we are, you know, EWTN, right? Eternal Word Television Network. We were created in the image and likeness of God, male and female, so we have a huge responsibility. Now, I want to play this clip for you. This is a portion of a really good exchange between Senator Hyde Smith from Mississippi and the Education Secretary, Cardona, last week discussing Title IX, and I mentioned this at the top of the show, and the wordsmithing he does when she asks about the danger that is being really, that is allowed to occur because of these changes in Title IX. Andrew has a tape. Go ahead, roll it, Andrew.
So when a biological male goes into the locker room with biological females, you think that that is a safe space for those young girls?
When girls walk into bathrooms, that's you may not be recognizing students who are transgender, but because you don't recognize them doesn't mean that I don't protect them.
But biological males going into a girl's locker room and a girl's bathroom, you have no problem with that whatsoever, and you consider them being safe in all circumstances?
Again, I think the line of questioning is trying to create division. What we're trying to do is protect all
students.
We're
not trying to create division. You just said protecting students is my number one priority.
All students.
So do you feel like that those biological females are protected in that setting? To the best of your ability, you're protecting them?
The Title IX regulations that we have protect all students and give them access to the same opportunities that all other students have in our schools. As I said before, we can't pick and choose which students we want to protect. And for
I totally agree. All students need protecting. But there's a difference in boys and girls and where they change clothes and undress.
Did you notice how he said you're not recognizing them as girls? So he basically deflected it to her. It's her fault. Is anybody questioning this, Jeanette? And then talking about the line of questioning. Your line of questioning is what's wrong here, not the new Title IX rules that are being proposed.
Well, this is a tactic that's always used, and I think that it comes out of Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals, that, you know, you turn the tables. The very thing that you're doing, you accuse your opponent of doing. And they've been very successful with this, and they've made headway. So the person who's concerned about all students is pointed to as the one who isn't concerned with all students. For the transgendered student. Now, and I think that we have to realize too that transgendering does not always necessarily mean that there is an attempt to change the body through hormones and or through surgery. That's a broader term. And it's used also for, you know, just individuals who care to dress and act like the opposite sex as well. Before they've gone through any kind of permanent change, and some of them never really do go through a permanent change. So, you know, this is the perfect way for individuals, and I'm not necessarily just talking about students here, but I'm talking about anyone who may have nefarious desires to be able to have access to areas where women should be guaranteed privacy.
Right.
So for the sake of those, for the sake of this very minuscule percentage of the American population, the rest of the population has got to suffer potential kinds of mishap, you know, which can range from simple, lack of comfort to very serious deeds. So, you know, again, this is the tactic, and they will stick to that. They will not change. You notice he didn't change. He will not answer anything logically. They don't answer anything.
They can't
logically.
Answer it logically, so they have to deflect it. Just like Maxine Waters said yesterday that it's going to be the conservatives who are going to be taking to the hills and doing all these dangerous protests in the summer. And I'm like, wait a minute, who's been doing all the protests the last couple of weeks? It hasn't been the conservatives. It's been actually the very liberal people who are embracing extremist ideology and mentality and shouting death to America. And we are Hamas, but it's the conservatives that are going to be causing the problem, she says, because here again, it's the deflection, right? They're doing this, but they're putting it on the conservatives.
Well, and again, let's realize this. A lot of these protests are being caused by outside agitators. And you will notice, and there's a pattern here. And you can go back to the Obama era if you want to. You probably can trace it back to the Clinton era. bring it forward. And what you generally see is prior to an election, there's an attempt at civil unrest.
Yep.
There is an attempt at agitation. Because when you destabilize the country, then you stand a better chance of taking it over.
Right, exactly. Because people have the whole fear factor that's involved. Jeanette, great conversation. I wish you could stay on for another hour. All the best to you, my dear. 20, 40, 60 more years. You're amazing. womenofgreats.com. And so appreciate all you do in your friendship. Ciao, ciao. Have a great week and happy Mother's Day, my dear.
And the same to you, my sweet friend. God bless you.
You too. God bless. And we'll be right back on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. Stay tuned. Lauren Mazika serves as president and CEO of Sidewalk Advocates for Life. She oversees the organization's vision, mission, and programming. And there's a one-of-a-kind pro-life mega event coming up in D.C. in June, and it's called Celebrate Life Weekend. So, Lauren, we're going to let you give us the details. This sounds pretty exciting. Good morning.
Good morning, Teresa. Great to be with you. Yes, we've got just an epic event. No one has ever seen this in the pro-life movement before, this kind of high level of collaboration. So a handful of us are coming together to not only mark the second anniversary of the Dobbs v. Jackson case that overturned Roe versus Wade, but offer a huge Celebrate Life Weekend as we talk about our next steps in making post-Roe America and abortion-free America. So the weekend of June 21st through 23rd, again, coming up here in a handful of weeks in Washington, D.C., we're going to have three tentpole events. There's going to be a rally at the Lincoln Memorial that Saturday morning, a gala on Friday night, and then we also have a conference that weekend. And the beautiful thing about the conference is that there's three different tracks. We're covering everything from faith, family, and fatherhood to life-saving activism and so much more. And so, you know, big keynote speakers, we've got everyone from Abby Johnson to Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire to Heidi St. John, Jeannie Mancini of the March for Life, David B. Wright. I get to MC the event. So again, really encouraging everyone to come in and, you know, to have a discussion about how they keep their states pro-life or they help their abortion destinations become pro-life.
And so how do you register? Is there a website?
Yes, you can go to CelebrateLifeWeekend.com. Again, that's CelebrateLifeWeekend.com. And the great thing, too, is you get to choose your own adventure. You know, people are saying, gosh, you know, Washington, D.C. is expensive, especially in this economy. We understand that, right? There is a one-day pass. You can do, like, a Saturday conference experience. The rally is free. You can go out to the Lincoln Memorial for free, but we are encouraging people to RSVP because there'll be, you know, exciting pro-life swag passed out, and it's just a good idea to get to know what the crowd's going to look like. You know, you really get to design that weekend for yourself. What is it that you need to go back to your community, your state, and help build a greater culture of life?
So how many people do you think, Lauren, in terms of the conference? Do you have any numbers in mind or your location? How many people can you hold?
Yeah, great question. Well, we're hoping for ballpark 400, 500. This is actually a merge of two events that have been pretty successful in the past. So the Pro-Life Women's Conference that was started by former Planned Parenthood Director Abby Johnson and then our annual National Sidewalk Advocacy Conference decided to go ahead and kind of merge together. You know, again, it's just such a beautiful level of collaboration. We're doing this in partnership with Students for Life of America, Pro-Love Ministries, which was started by Abby Johnson, 40 Days for Life, and then us here at Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And again, it's just so beautiful because, you know, we're coming together and really brainstorming how do we serve people in this brand new era. You know, we've got people in Illinois coming to us saying, I'm grieved because my state allows abortion until the point of birth. And then we've got people in Texas, Tennessee, Louisiana, and beyond who say, how do I keep my state pro-life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what happened to our state in Michigan. Don't even let me get started there. But my concern, given our experience in Michigan, and I've been talking about this with Michael Kenny from Pro-Life Partners, they're putting forth a series of really good ads that they've had done that are available, and we talked to him about this earlier this week, but that we need to address these really sensitive issues. We cannot be shy about talking about rape. We cannot be shy about talking about emergency services that are not going to be cut off, which is what the left is so good at. These lies, that they just literally make it up, Lauren.
Right.
And it's tough to compete with that, but we have to. We don't lie, but we have to put out in response. The truth is very powerful, but we have to do it well, and we have to do it and grab people, their emotions, and with the truth.
Absolutely. No, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, I think there's a lot of confusion out there. I mean, the abortion lobby has been able to push some of these ballot initiatives through in Michigan and Ohio because, honestly, Christian women are stepping into the voting booth and they don't know what they're voting for. They're scaring America. They're scaring the people of that state, and they're saying, well, if you don't vote for basically abortion until the point of delivery, then you won't have ectopic pregnancy treatment, right? Ethical ectopic pregnancy treatment, emergency services, as you put it. You know, what if we have to do an early delivery where mom has skyrocketing preeclampsia and, you know, both mother and child are going to die? Well, we have to do an early delivery. That's not an abortion. That's not the direct killing of an innocent child. Medicine has always recognized this, and it's always operated in collaboration, so to speak, with theology and philosophy. We have solutions for these things. These things are not abortions. And so what the abortion lobby is doing is saying, well, you know, if you don't vote for our abortion package over here, you're going to miss out on emergency services. And that's just not true. Mm-hmm. I'm encouraged when I look at Florida. We still have a lot of work to do because Florida is going to vote on this November. But their threshold in order to change the law, in order to do what Michigan and Ohio just did, is about 60%. And so far, none of these votes have gone that high. So I'm hopeful, but, you know, just like you've acknowledged, and we're working in collaboration with Pro-Life Partners Foundation and Michael Kenney and his team, you know, to look at our messaging in Florida and ensure that people understand what it is that they're voting for.
Well, in Florida, you have a very strong governor who actually counteracted, because with this whole thing, with this amendment getting on the ballot in November, he's already put together a series of ads pushing back against the lies and explaining that emergency services are not going to be cut off. So, of course, obviously many of these states don't have a pro-life governor like DeSantis, now certainly not in Michigan with Gretchen Whitmer, God help us, but we need to be able to counter these messages, again, with the truth.
Yes, absolutely. I'm so grateful for Governor DeSantis' leadership, right, and his relationship with the pro-life movement. I hear incredible things on the ground. I'm based in Texas, right? But I think the pro-life movement is hungry for leadership.
Yes.
We're hungry for people to take a stand. I really do believe, from what we see, this is a winning issue. But how we message it is so important because the abortion lobby right now is thriving off of fear. And we've got to counter fear with the truth. And so we definitely have some work to do in front of us because, you know, the other side will stop at nothing to get abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. And if they can get it paid for with our tax dollars, even better. Right.
Absolutely. Talking with Lauren Muzica, President and CEO of Sidewalk Advocates for Life, a big event coming up in D.C. next month. It's in June. Give us the address again online, Lauren, if you would, or how do we register for the Celebrate Life Weekend and the date again?
Yeah, so CelebrateLifeWeekend.com is where you can go, and it'll direct you to the main page. It's going to be June 21st through 23rd. The main events are held at the Westin downtown there in Washington, D.C. And, you know, one of the questions that we're getting is, my goodness, in this economy, it's I don't know how I'm going to pay for this. I don't know how I'm going to get there, right? And we actually do have some travel tips online for some folks. We do have a room block. The early bird pricing has been extended through the end of the month. We wanted to do that to help people, accommodate people. There's a ton of hotels in Washington, D.C., even surrounding that very site where the events will take place. And so I'm just really encouraging people, like, sit down, do your searches, say your prayers. You can even get sponsored a lot of times by the pro-life group at your parish, at your church. There's, you know, Right to Life groups. There's others who would love to send a representative to an event like this. And take notes and, you know, garner all the great information and then bring it back to their
Bring it back, right? And especially, like, for example, if you're representing your parish, write articles about it, blast them out, get it in the bulletin, get it in the online, on Facebook, and share those. The other thing I think that is really important here, and you and I have talked about this before, but I'm really glad to see from a media perspective these groups coming together. Not that you were working against each other, but I saw too much individualism in this group was doing this, this group was doing that, but we're all pro-life, so we have to, you know, have to bring those resources together and coordinate and stop worrying about, well, I may lose a few dollars if I do this, or I may lose if I, you know, it's all competition. No, we're not competing. We are working together. You don't think there's enough misery out there in the abortion industry and people being impacted by abortion that we got to worry about losing a few dollars here and there because we don't like this particular message of another? Come on. Basta, as we say in Italian. Work together. And we are. This is a result of that.
Amen. No, the other side is well organized.
Oh, yeah.
They're well funded.
Yep.
They don't feel like they're stepping on each other's toes. They're just going for it. I mean, we had a handful of women that actually went to the women's conference, you know, associated with the Women's March every year, that, you know, this pro-abortion, anti-family march that was happening every year. And it was unbelievable. I want to say that the base ticket price was something like $300 a person.
Mm-hmm.
And women on the other side were paying for it. They were scrounging together everything that they could to be at this conference to give voice to taking the lives of innocent children, to fighting against family and everything that we hold dear. And it was even Abby Johnson, to her credit, that came back from that conference and said, guys, we got to change something over here, you know? We got to do something different because they're doing everything that they can to get to this event, to stand up against what we are fighting for every single day. So, again, it's so important that women and men, and again, we have a place for the fathers here. We have a place for the men here at the conference, right? Men are so important to us on the sidewalk, sidewalk counseling in our organization. We love them. They're so great on the sidewalk, right? We want people of all walks of life in Christ coming to this conference, coming to this event, getting this wisdom and being able to push back against the forces of evil. The only way that we're going to make America pro-life is by turning our communities pro-life, then turning our states pro-life, and then we have hope to have a pro-life nation. But again, we've got about 14 states right now that protect life and about 36 to go.
Yeah.
So we've got work to do, right? And even in our pro-life states, we've got women who are leaving our counties for the next nearest abortion facility, sometimes 300, 600 miles away.
Yeah.
So again, it's so clear that our work in post-war America, no matter where we sit on the map, it is not done yet. It's not done yet.
And I'm really, again, I can't stress enough how I'm seeing, and this has happened in the last year or so, I think, really strongly, I'm seeing events like this, and then also I just had Michael Kinney on with me last week talking about these beautiful videos that they've produced, and the Pro-Life Partner Foundation, he's having webinars, and people from all across the pro-life movement giving input, giving feedback on the videos. What do you think? Should we do a different one? Should we do this? So there's been a great collaboration, and Lauren, that's huge. Huge.
It is. In fact, there's a huge meeting of us pro-life leaders tonight that was initiated by Michael, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are going over all this messaging because it's so important. And, you know, it can be tough in this climate. We've got, you know, a segment of society that has been through an abortion experience. They're still very much in the throes of a healing process, right? We've got angry women. We've got confused women. We've got frustrated women. We've got men who are wounded by abortion. It can be really tough to message to all these different audiences. And so it's so valuable that Michael, David B. Wright, and others have kind of rallied the troops here and said, okay, let's take a deep breath. Let's make sure that our message is clear and that we're communicating that in a clear way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, again, I'm so excited about this event at the end of June because it's another opportunity. You know, I really think COVID kind of sent us all in different directions, and we're trying to figure out how to come back together, right? And there's nothing that replaces the in-person experience. Yes, you can sometimes go find something virtual online, or you can be part of a webinar, and those are still valuable, but there's nothing that replaces actually sitting at the table with former abortion workers and asking them about their experience, you know, talking to them about what they saw in the industry and what their advice is going forward. We're going to have so many different unique populations like that at this particular event. It is absolutely invaluable for anybody who's pro-life.
And so, again, you've got this coming up in June, and you've got the webinar tonight, and I'm glad you brought that up because I just wanted to remind people. Give us the website one more time for the event in June, and then I'm going to try to find here. I'm trying to look up for Pro-Life Federation for the webinar tonight. I forgot to mention that. So go ahead. What is the website for? Yeah.
Absolutely.
For your event.
CelebrateLifeWeekend.com is the magic website to go register. And once again, you get to choose your own adventure. Three tentpole events. There's going to be a rally Saturday morning at the Lincoln Memorial. We're going to have a gala one evening, and then we'll have the conference. And then we've got a few different tracks for people. So even within the conference, you get to choose your own adventure. The groups that are behind this, Students for Life of America, 40 Days for Life, Pro-Love Ministries, and then us at Sidewalk Advocates for Life. And again, you do not have to attend all three events. Even the conference, there's a one-day pass. I believe it's $99 for Saturday. We did extend the early bird pricing opportunity to the end of the month. We also have a discount room block at the Westin where everything will take place, downtown Washington, D.C. Again, there are other hotels around there if you want to kind of compare price options, right? But we're letting people know, hey, if you want to get here, God will make a way. Talk to your pro-life group, talk to the Right to Life group, you know, get here. We would love to collaborate with you and learn from you as well.
And I found the website, prolifepartnersfoundation.org. There's a link there for webinars. Lauren, you're going to be a part of the webinars tonight. prolifepartnersfoundation.org, and I'm sure the beautiful conference coming up in June will be part of that discussion, and we'll also talk more about this as we get closer. Lauren, always great to talk to you. Thanks for your work.
Spring in the mowing season with a new Cub Cadet lawn tractor from Weingarts. We've been helping families like yours choose the right power equipment since 1945. Cub Cadet XT Enduro Series tractors are engineered to offer the best combination of quality, value, and performance. Cub Cadet lawn and garden tractors offer comfort and year-round versatility. Stop by our stores to help find your next Cub Cadet or visit us online at Weingarts.com. From our family to yours, thank you for letting us serve you.
Weingarts, Weingarts, everything.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
So appreciate your listenership to EWTN. Check us out online, EWTN.com, and we'll put the links to the event in June on the archive section. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for me tomorrow and Thursday. I'll be back with you, God willing, on Friday. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.